ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our beautiful exchange service. It's another Wednesday evening, and we're just glad to be alive and well in Christ Jesus. We thank Him for the blessing of life, the blessing of love, the blessing of family. And tonight we are starting a new series from this week, from today. We're focusing on spiritual growth, the need for you and I to grow. Everything is designed by God to grow. Human beings are designed to grow. Plants and animals are also designed to grow. And growth is actually a sign of life. And for those of us who are believers, you and I who are believers in Christ Jesus, we are designed to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, He said, but we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So we are designed to grow. And after our salvation experience, he said, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. And so in 1 Peter 2, it says, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So God expects us to grow. I'm sure in the natural, if one is a parent and you have a child and the child is not growing, that child becomes a source of concern, not only to his or her parent, but even to the medical personnel who will attend to that child. So God expects you and I to grow. And so we will share and glean wisdom from His word all through this. And as we make our intention to grow known, the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, begins to teach us, begins to open our eyes of understanding, and our eyes of understanding will be flooded with His light. And then we move from one level of faith to another, from one level of glory to another by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm so excited as we transit into this time where we focus on spiritual growth, which actually laid the foundation for our lives as disciples of Christ. God expects you and I to grow. So let's just lay the foundation tonight. Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews. Someone once joked that if there are Hebrews, there must be Shebrews. But we are focusing on Hebrews tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. We're looking at the subject that we have just titled, the Word. When we say the word, we are referring to the word of God, and we are actually referring to a person or the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, I read verses 11 all through to 13. It said, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, Lest any one of us fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We live in times when questions about the validity and the relevance of the Bible are in discourse. I don't have to give so much as example. We see this discourse on a daily basis. We see it on TV. We see it on radio. We read them through the social media platform. But the word of God has always outlasted or outlasts every argument as to his authenticity and relevance. As a matter of fact, one of the testimonies that you will have about the word of God is the fact that culture, nations, organizations have been built or premised of God's word. Some nations' constitution a premise from the wisdom people have gleaned from the Bible. Some other organizational value, or what we call ethics and etiquettes, most of people who put these things together, sometimes or majorly, they have their inspiration drawn from the Word of God. So all this testimony of nation building, of organization building, of personal value and ethics. People have built the world on the word of God, built their family, built their finances. All this just points to the fact that the word of God has integrity. Let's read Luke chapter 1, verse 37. God's word is living. That's what we read in Hebrews. God's word is active. God's word is relevant. We can see that relevance in today's world. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, we can apply it. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, say, for with God, nothing will be impossible. It's a very popular scripture. But what that scripture is actually saying is that God and his word are one. We cannot separate God from his word. Just like I can't separate you as an individual from your word. Your word is you and you is your word. So God and his word are one. So when we say with God nothing shall be impossible, it simply suggests that in God, inherent in God is his word, is his power, is his sovereignty to ensure that everything he does, nothing contests it. So with God, nothing. In other words, when God's say something, nothing resists it. When God speaks, it creates. When God speaks, chaos becomes order. When God speaks, dryness becomes fruitful. It's the same thing. You and I are created in the image of God. The Bible says we are gods. We are created in his image. We are created in his likeness. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good work. And we must also be sensitive that when we align our words with the word of God, when we speak, nothing can resist the word of God through our words. So, God's word
is true. God's word is pure. So when God speaks, his creative power goes with his word. Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. I read verse 11. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So, God's word, when he speaks, it goes forth with his creative force. The same word that made the whole heaven and the universe. We can see that in Genesis chapter 1. And tonight we're just laying the foundation. But as we build on this, all through this month, these words are supposed to help us grow into the image. As someone, you and I, who are created in the image and likeness of God, and who are believers in Christ Jesus, we must become aware that the word we speak are not just loose words. Let's see from God in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, I just pick on about 5-6 verses. Verse 3 falls, and then God said. And then God said, there was darkness. There was chaos. The Spirit of God was hovering. That just suggests the work of creation. But it wasn't just about chaos. And then God said, what God said is his word. He spoke the word. And chaos, out of chaos, came order. So God said, let there be light. And there was light. When God spoke, his creative power goes behind the world as a force, a potent force. So, verse 6. Then God said, it means there are some certain things before. So, God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters, water from the waters. And so it was so. I'm just introducing us to the fact that when we hold God's word in high esteem, when we believe his word, it is as powerful in our mouth just as it is in the mouth of God himself. In verse 7, it says, thus God made the firmament and divided the water which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So God said it, and it was so. Verse 9. And then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. It's just a basic principle. We will go into details. This basic principle is what also informed the heart of confession. God saw something in his heart and then he spoke it out. And as believers in Christ, we are also supposed to be aware of the power that is inherent in God's word so that we can learn how to speak it and it can create things in our world. In verse 14 of Genesis, verse 11 of Genesis 1. Then God said, let the heart bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, on the earth. And it was so. Verse 14, it said, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. And it was so. Verse 15, It says, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the heart. And it was so. Job 26. So God's word, in God's word, is inherent the power for accomplishment. In Job chapter 26, verse 11. Job 26, verse 11. The Bible says, the pillars of heaven tremble, and they are astonished at his word. Psalm 12, laying this good foundation tonight for the series of teachings in this month. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like a silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. So when God says something, it happens. His words cannot be refuted, denied, opposed, because it is backed by his incontestable power. His word contains power, strength, ability, might, dominion. So when God speaks, it establishes power. When God speaks, it establishes dominion. There is a force of influence. And I'm just calling our attention tonight, as believers in Christ, we must be sensitive to the words that we speak. Jesus said that we are justified by those words and we are condemned by those words. So when God speaks, his word is full of power, full of strength. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, that we read earlier on, it says, so shall my word, he said, that goes forth out of my mouth, it is backed with power. He said, it is backed with a sense of purpose. It will not return unto me useless, like one translation says, or less potent, like another one says. So his word is backed up in his strength, in his ability, in his might, and in his dominion. And tonight, as a believer in Christ, if you are a believer, please, we must all become increasingly aware of the vast treasure contained in God's irresistible word. We must not only be aware of this, but we must equally grasp how to walk in the fullness of this inexhaustible storehouse of God's riches and of his blessing, so we can be used of God in our various capacity to meet the needs of humanity. God's word has inherent ability to transform any life spiritually, emotionally, physically, socially, and financially. And most of the time, generally people are upset with the word of God. But the truth is that in this world, some people are upset and say it can't be the only source, only authentic source of power, of dominion, of life. But it is. Heaven and earth, Mark chapter 13, verse 31, may pass away, but none of the things written in this world will go unfulfilled. Whatever questions of life that we all have, you and I have, the answer is in the word. That's why he says, where we read as our text, he says, the only rest we need to enter into is the rest of God. is the rest in the promises of God, which are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus. And we can run life, we can run our businesses, we can run our families, we can walk with God, hearing his voice, listening to his instruction, yielding our spirit man to him to guide us, to lead us, only when we become aware of the vast resources in this world, and then we can grasp the reality of that world, and we are utilizing it in our everyday life. It's controlling our actions, our words, the way we run our lives. That is when we can really benefit from this word. So please understand, his word has power. It cannot be refuted. It cannot be denied. It cannot be opposed. It is consistently backed by his incontestable power. That's why Hebrews, where we read as our text, he said, this word is living and active. Hebrews 13:8 also say, Jesus, the word of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we can apply this to our any situation of life today. His word is living. It's not ancient. His word is active. It's easily applicable to every area of life. His word heals. His word saves. His word restores. His word gives a new beginning. His word is our shield. His word is our buckler. Every living of every word of God is living and active. So the word of God contains all the power, resources, and the riches of God. God and his word, I repeat again, are one. I'm speaking to you now. You're looking at my image, but you cannot separate me from my word. So you're looking at me, which is my physique, but you are also hearing sound from my mouth. So you can't separate me from my word. As a matter of fact, I'm gesticulating. You cannot separate me from my word. So is God and his word. You can't separate him. Premise on his word is his integrity, his throne, his power, his dominion, his influence. There is no authentic source of power apart from the word of God. So God's word is the overcomer. 1 John says in chapter 5, verse 4, he said, this is the B part. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world. The world there means cosmos, structure. This is the victory that overcomes the natural. This is the victory that overcomes the natural wisdom. Even our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's word is unchangeable. That's one. It means it is ageless. It is consistent. The same word that he spoke in the beginning is still saying to us today. That's why in some Bible translation, you now hear the phrase, thus said the Lord. Say, thus says the Lord. He's still talking. His word is ageless. So his word is unchangeable. God doesn't say red today and black tomorrow. No. His consistency with his word is consistent with his word. So his word is unchangeable. It is ageless and it is consistent. In John chapter 1 verse 1, we can read that. John chapter 1. God and his word are one. You cannot separate the natural man with his word. So, also, you cannot separate the creator of heaven and earth. All things were made by the word. In John chapter 1, if you have a Bible like mine, you read at the top of that page, it's subtitled, The Eternal Word. It said, in the beginning was the word. You know that it's in capital. Word is in capital. So it's referring to a person. is referring to one of the divine personality in Genesis 1:26 that says, let us. So the Word is the Son. You get that shortly. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So the Word has eternal attributes. It is ageless. It is consistent. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, means Jesus healed yesterday, is still healing today, and if eternity rose, he will still heal. It's consistent. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. That word is ageless. It's over 2,000 years ago. Yet it is consistent with our lives today. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. That word is consistent with the nature of God as a provider, as the God of abundance. It still consists, is ageless. We can apply it to our lives today. So God's word is unchangeable. Secondly, God's word is irrefutable. It means it is unquestionable. It means it's undeniable. Even if you say there is no God, we can see the proof all around us. Even if you say God doesn't heal, we can see the evidence that he heals in other people who respond to his word. So God's word is irrefutable. Demons can't stand the authority that is invested in that word, in that name. Satan himself cannot contest the word. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. It simply suggests that God's word is irrefutable. God's word is unquestionable. God's word is undeniable. God's word comes with proof. It comes with evidence. It said, by the word of the Lord, in Psalm 33, the heavens and the heart were made. We can see the evidence all around us. God said, let there be light. We can see the evidence. It's undeniable. God said, let the night be separated from the day. We can still see the evidence today. It's undeniable. Science doesn't contradict God. Science is actually the discovery of who God is. So God invested principle into the heart. And then he left it for man to discover. He said, let them have dominion. Let them discover things. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, you and I, when we are in Christ Jesus, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, which God has prepared in advance for you and I to do. So there are works prepared in advance for us to do. So God's word is irrefutable. When you see someone who is sick, you lay hands on them, they recover because God's word is irrefutable. When you see someone who is going through demonic oppression, you command that demon activity to cease in Jesus' name, and it's irrefutable. Jesus one day met a centurion. And the Bible says that centurion servant was sick unto death. And he made a profound statement to the Lord by asking, I need my servant to get well. But he said, however, I am a man under authority. That's what the centurion said to the master. He said, I understand what authority is all about. When I say to people under my platoon, under my jurisdiction, go, they go. When I ask them, when I give the command, come, they come. And so he said, don't bother following me. He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And the interesting thing, Jesus saw the demonstration of the faith. He made the pronouncement. So when the centurion got back home, he wanted to be sure. He said, when did the servant recover? He realized that it was at the same hour. So God's word is irrefutable. It's undeniable. In Psalm 107, verse 20, it said, he sent forth his word, and the word heals them, and the word delivers from destruction. So when we apply the word of God, we speak it, miracles happen, deliverance happens, victory is enforced, dominion is activated. The power of God cannot be refused. I'm just saying this because we have businesses in our hands. We have our family that we're leading. We have our career path that we are pursuing. We have people around us who are not even saved that we can pray for them to get saved. So when we speak the word of God, it cannot be denied. We cannot be refused. Access cannot be denied. Thirdly, tonight, maybe the last point, God's word is powerful. God's word is powerful. Powerful simply means it is potent. Ajayi Crowder, translation will say, Ajebidon. It is potent. It is life. It is active. It's like what it's compared with in our text. It's like a two-edged sword. Whichever way you throw the sword, it works. You throw it to the right, it works. You throw it to the left, it works. You throw it up, it works. So God's word is powerful. In Psalm 18, somewhere like that, it was talking about strangers. It was talking about maybe demons' activity. It says, strangers will come out of our hiding places when they hear my voice. One day, Apostle Peter was going into the temple at the hour of prayer. I think that is Acts chapter maybe chapter 3. So he said, at the hour of prayer. And then there was a man, the Bible recorded that he was impotent from birth. In other words, it was like a long case, long issue. The man has been impotent and the man has given up on life. He wasn't even expecting too much from life anymore. But something happened that day. Apostle Peter, the Bible says the man looked at Apostle Peter expecting to receive alms from them. But Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold. It wasn't that he doesn't have silver and gold, but at that time, because he was going in for prayer, so he probably doesn't have silver and gold on him. He said, but such as I have. And I said to us tonight, as a believer in Christ, you have something to change the face of your street, to change the activities in your neighborhood, to change the activities in your nation, wherever you're watching us from. You can dictate the tone. You can create an environment. You can create a nation, a street, a state where people respond to the gospel. You can put an end to crime. You can put an end to destruction when you come into that awareness that God's word is powerful. He said, silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What looked like an age-long negative situation, when God's word was applied, the powerful word, he took that man from that place where everybody has tagged him with, and then the man got up. The Bible records he was leaping, he was jumping, he was praising the Lord, because God's word is powerful. It's important. It's authoritative. And I say to you tonight, it does not matter where you have been or what you are going through. I send forth the word of the Lord into your household, into your life, into your career, into your neighborhood. It is powerful. It is irrefutable. It is unchangeable. That situation around you receives the life of God, and there is a supernatural turnaround in the precious name of Jesus. I believe as I close tonight that this wonderful book called the Bible contains God's living word. And if we learn to just take him at his word, Proverbs 3, verse 5 talks about what will happen. Proverbs 3. When we take God at his word, what happens? We build a bridge of trust. This 3:5 is a trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. It says, and in all your ways, not one way, not the other way, not the ones that is convenient, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I believe we are approaching the hour when God's word we become our sole source for everything that we do. We are coming to that hour. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to that hour. And you say, how do I know that? Because nothing is stable in our world anymore. Nothing. Except you build on the solid rock of life, you might be in for surprises. But he says, God's word and become the sole source of everything that we do. That no matter the pressure of life, God's word never changed. I read as I close Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So that word is unchangeable. That word is irrefutable. That word is powerful. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 8. Isaiah 40. Verse 8. It says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. So the word is unchangeable. The word is irrefutable. The word is powerful. If you read that same Isaiah 40 verse 28, it said, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the creator, the Lord, the creator of the hand of the heart, he neither faints nor is weary. That's his nature. We are the one who sometimes we go through life's pressure, and we get to that point where we faint or we become weary. But God's word gives us understanding that is unsearchable, and then it gives power to the weak. And to those who have no mind, God's word increases their strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, who wait upon his word, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 119, the last scripture for tonight. Psalm 119. God's word is unchangeable, is ageless and consistent, is irrefutable, is unquestionable and undeniable. God's word is powerful. He's potent, he's authoritative. Even the devil knows. And that's why he wants to keep people in ignorance. But we need to shake that veil off. Take the veil off. Because God's word is unchangeable, is irrefutable, is powerful. In Psalm 119, we read verses 89 to 91. He said, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the heart and it abides." So it's ageless. "They continue till these days according to your word. For all are your servant." Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is true from the beginning. Thank you for calling our attention into the power that is in your word. Thank you tonight because you have shown us that your word is unchangeable, your word is irrefutable, your word is powerful. Lord, whatever area of life that whoever is watching right now needs to apply your word, thank you because your grace is sufficient for us. We speak the word of victory. We speak the word of power. We speak the word of dominion. And we establish that Jesus is Lord over any life situation. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you because your word will continue to prosper us. Your word will continue to heal us. Your word will continue to deliver. And thank you for the responsibility that we have to touch our own generation. Thank you because you will make us the vessel unto honor.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,